Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. To feel the Christmas tree? We're chilling in the backyard. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Margaret, and we're gathering in the backyard to start our Christmas celebration. And this evening, we are having memories of the old-time Jamaican Christmas, because most of my fans, not all of them, including myself, are seniors with a lot of wonderful memories of Christmas time in Jamaica. Memories that perhaps the stories we have will perhaps be new to the up-and-coming Jamaicans as well as our friends of Jamaica. But we just wanted to leave some of these stories in our archives because, like the rest of the world, Jamaica is changing and things have changed. Some of the traditions, I think, will be the same. But, you know, as everything changes, so does things that we do at special times change, the way we celebrate, the way we cook, the way we just get together with families. Because I know one thing for sure, that a lot of families now are quite separated, with the seniors or juniors being away for school or away for something, moved away. And even transportation, how people get together in Jamaica now, is different from the way it was in the 30s and 40s. So this evening, we're going to be sharing some memories of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, which is perhaps before, which definitely was before independence. And so that people who grew up, were born during or after the independence, will have some information about how things used to be. So, beside my personal memories, I want to share with you this evening some memories of other people who have moved away from the island. One has been a guest on our show already, and he's Mr. George Graham, who is a writer. And also, by the way, let me remind our listeners that you are listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here every Wednesday, and you can check us out on www.backyardlabrish.com. We have all our shows archived there, or if you are on the Blog Talk site, you will see all the shows we did for the past year on the side, on your right side, and you can listen to any of the special shows that might pique your interest. But this evening, we're talking about old-time Jamaican Christmas. And I want to read to you an article that is posted on Jamaican.com. Jamaican.com is, you know, like Backyard Labrish. They have a lot of cultural writers that write for Jamaica.com. And Mr. George Graham was also featured on our show and is on BackyardLabrish.com. So I'm going to read what he has posted of his memories on Jamaica.com. Remembering Jamaica in Jamaica a long, long time ago. And this is George speaking. Well, I'm speaking for George, reading from his blog on Jamaica.com. And we're going to share a couple stories from some of our listeners and fans as soon as I'm finished with George's story. He says, back when I was a boy, a long, long time ago, the Christmas season started about the middle of December and lasted until after New Year's Day. It was a time for celebration, to look up old friends and make new ones, to eat, drink, and be merry. Do Jamaicans still go from house to house, tasting one another's plum pudding and toasting the season with a glass of sorrel or wine? We believe it brought us luck. On Christmas Day in America, I still look expectantly up the road, but no one ever comes by. George, and this is a sidebar, George now lives in Florida, so I know what he's talking about because I live in Atlanta and I'm looking up the road and nobody's stopping by unless I'm having an open house for Christmas, which I don't usually do. So back to George. Christmas is coming and the geese are getting fat. Do they still have geese in Jamaica? I remember the geese at teacher's night. They made a hissing noise as they chased us children across the yard. And the turkeys, not those anemic-looking white things we see on American TV, but big bronze creatures with fluted-out feathers, iridescent in the sun. The tom turkey would push himself forward and make a throbbing sound. Then he would shake his bright red and wattles and gobble with all his might. Jamaica was magical back then, especially at Christmas. I wonder how it is today. I haven't been back for many years, but I'm going back one day, I promise you. Back when I was a boy, a long, long time ago, the Christmas season, oh, well, this is a repeat of what we said before. Now, sometimes in preparation for Christmas, my parents would drive 100 miles from Malvern to Kingston and take us shopping. We would hurry through the crowd, stopping at Nathan's, Sasser's, and Hannah's, where the scent of new fabric perfumed the air. There would be shoes to try on, clothes to get for school, presents to buy, and hide under one of when no one was looking. The hustle and bustle was intoxicating. The stores jam-packed. Tram cars rattled along metal reins, powered by poles attached to overhead wires, sometimes setting off shows of sparks. Cart drivers yelled as their mules went up and down King Street. And I wonder if any of our listeners can relate to that. I see a hands up. So I'm going to open the mic in between George's story to welcome our listener from 678-770. Who do I have with me?
Hi, Margaret. This is Charmaine Jones.
Hi, Charmaine Jones.
Hi, Merry Christmas. All the best of the season to you.
Thank you. As we used to say in Jamaica, I don't know if you remember, when we answered the phone, we'd say, compliments of the season.
Oh, yes, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, yes, that's true, that's true. And Well, I wanted was to, if you don't mind, share a short story.
No, I'd love that. And would you tell us where you're calling from, Charmaine Joan, and who you are?
I'm calling from Atlanta here. I'm here in Atlanta, from Gwinnett County in Atlanta.
Great.
And, yes, and I'm a Jamaican by birth.
Uh-huh. And also, what else about you?
I am... I do one woman shows. I'm a professional monologue artist.
Okay.
And I will be continuing with my blog talk show in the coming new year.
What is the name of your show?
Living Happy.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yes,
well, welcome, Miss Living Happy Charmaine Joan, to Backyard Labyrinth.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's a great thing that you have going. And I'm so thankful that you have this show to perpetuate the culture of Jamaica in particular. So that's great. I remember listening to one of your shows about memory gems, because I wanted to incorporate something in a performance piece I did at City Hall here in Atlanta recently, and I went to listen again to one of your shows about that, and it's there as a kind of reference library, audio reference library for all of us here in Jamaica and across the world to access information about Jamaican culture.
Thank you, Sammy.
So, yeah. So thank you.
For supporting, the effort too, really. My whole passion and objective with Backyard Libraries is for people to leave living stories. Because, as you know, I had a fire, and I know how things can get destroyed. Memories and pictures and even letters from your parents or so can get destroyed. But there's nothing that can destroy cyberspace. So, recording our history in cyberspace, having a living, live voice tell story will be here forever. So share with us your Christmas memories of Jamaica.
Well, a recurring theme, excuse me, I'm getting over the flu. So a recurring theme, I remember growing up, my mom just passed a few months ago, and so this memory of her, my mother, she will feed her worst enemy if she had any, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And her thing is, no one must go hungry. So cooking and so on was very much an integral part of life, with my mommy. And at Christmas time, she had, I remember this huge bowl. It was, I think it was made of some ceramic thing, and material, and inside it was glazed, the bowl. And I know this bowl it was huge, not like the little regular bowl you see with kitchen, those mixers, that the electric mixers. It was like four times the size.
Wow.
And I remember my mother right there at the kitchen table, she would take all the things and she mixed the cakes by hand.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that it took so long. Oh, my goodness.
It actually did.
And then she would ask me to do it. I really didn't like this part at all. But when she did it so nice and firm and quick and thing to mix up the sugar and the butter and thing and the egg and everything.
And it was brown sugar, right?
Yes, brown sugar. And she would then take out these tall jars,
uh-huh.
These brown jars, glass jars, uh-huh. where she had soaking for months or maybe from the previous year, all her fruits and thing, they were soaked in rum and I think wine and all kind of alcoholic things.
Uh-huh.
And when she poured the fruits in and everything, and then the lining of the cake pan was another ritual. where she would take
grease paper.
Grease paper, thank
mm-hmm.
you. Paper. And I had to cut the grease paper, line it, put the thing around the pan and cut it and so on, and make sure the bottom part wasn't cut too short so that the cake would not flow over, you know, into the bottom of the pan, but would just stay right inside where the grease paper is. And I had to butter the pan, use you have the stick butter, and you use the what they come into the paper, and you would grease the pan, then put the some like a flour thing, you know, I think some flour, you had to sprinkle some flour, and then put the grease paper, and then she would pour them out into the different pans. And okay, that's over. And then my favorite part began, to lick the bowl.
All right. Now, interesting. Do you remember how old you were when you started licking the pan?
I don't know. It was a thing I did. I don't know. I remember even as a teenager doing it. So
right. Now, the point I'm trying to make.
Before, yeah.
We didn't worry that there was liquor
We didn't even worry about salmonella from poisoning from raw eggs. There were no such issues at all. The egg, the rum, the this, everything, the sugar and everything. I'm sure I don't know if I got drunk off it. I don't recall getting drunk.
Right. We didn't get drunk. We were
no.
I have memories, honey, of when I was, I think I couldn't be more than 5 or 6. I was a very whingy child, as we call them in those days. Do you remember that word, whingy?
Yes. Uh-huh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, I used to go to St. Lamar, where my great aunt, I didn't know my grandmother, but my grandmother's sister, who was Aunt Liz, would make cakes at Christmas time, and she made wedding cakes and things like that. And I would cry because I wanted to rub it up, you know, and they would feel so sorry for me. They would give me the wooden stick.
Yes, that
you
was
should
really
see would me trying to use both hands.
Mm-hmm.
Move, as you say, around in this special big bowl to try and rub the butter and sugar, which
was
a joke. Because I could hardly move it an inch.
Yes, yes.
But at least would satisfy my desire to help.
Yes,
so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
So go ahead, darling. And those memories are etched
in
your brain.
Yes, and when the cake, you know, was baked, or the cakes, because my mother she never cook exact. She was never an exact cook. Chef, she always cook with extra,
mm-hmm.
and so there were a number of cakes there. And then, when the cakes came out of the oven, she would then take the proof white rum and pour over the cakes
and pour.
Pour over the cakes to set the cakes. I swear, nobody eat any of that cake, you see. If they were to do a DUI, they would go to jail.
But it's funny, because we always were always eating around Christmas time. So people really didn't get drunk from the cakes, although you could if you were just eating hors d'oeuvres, like most people do here, you know, the American parties. But the Jamaican household and the Jamaican parties and people who came by were always full of food.
Oh, yes. And we always had I remember she had the fresh sorrel.
Mm-hmm.
The fresh sorrel plant.
Which always, the sorrel drink always had rum too.
Oh, yes, definitely. And we sit on the veranda, the side veranda. And or in the kitchen, wherever, and pick off the leaves of the sorrel plant.
When you're preparing the sorrel?
Yes, we would pick off the red leaves, or whatever you call it, the red part of the sorrel plant,
uh-huh.
and it would leave the green bulb and thing, and your hands would turn red you know, from picking it. And so it's the fresh sorrel she would use, and when she would make up her sorrel drinks and things. And we would also have duck bread, and I love bread and butter, so that was my thing. And the warm duck, the bread that shaped like a duck, she would use that, and duck bread and the butter, and you know, and of course the ham, and put the cloves in the ham. And I don't know how else you cook the ham. I'm a vegetarian now, but all I remember is the cloves in the ham.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had to put in a certain diamond shape way or whatever.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Sugar, yes. And I think she put sugar on the ham.
Brown sugar.
Brown
you make sugar. A brown sugar paste.
Yes, something like that. And you know, and the regular stuff. But I remember those things. And, oh, and another thing, that morning of Christmas morning after the gifts and thing, we would have fresh the hot cocoa, the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Where we would
in the real chocolate.
The
that's great.
The grater chocolate. And we would grate the chocolate. And my mother would make up the hot chocolate tea. So to me, the delight was the hot, sweet, fresh chocolate with the cinnamon and vanilla and everything into it. The warm duck bread with the butter. And I would do something that was not elegant, but my mother just let it go for the Christmas. I would duck my bread and butter into the hot chocolate tea. You know when you duck the bread?
Dunk it, yeah.
Dunk it, that's the word. Dunk the bread in there, and she let it go. You know, this lapse in table etiquette, but she'd let it go because it's Christmas. And I would have it, and oh, that was delicious. So
well, that
those
was
are my memories.
Great memory, Charmaine
yes.
Joan. It's
thank
really
you.
Good.
Yes.
And I'm sure our listeners will enjoy hearing that because it will spur memories that they had.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not everybody that was fortunate enough to have a mother.
True.
So you had your
true.
Mother doing that. I
yes.
have friends who don't have memories of their mother, but, you know,
yes.
of an aunt or someone who
yes.
raised them. So
and
you
I,
were blessed
yeah,
to have
I,
a mother who you I have memories
father.
Of.
Yeah,
and
I
you have my
father.
Condolences because you mentioned that your mother just passed this
yes,
year?
Passed in May. Yes, a day before my birthday she passed.
Wow.
May 9th. But it's okay, you know.
Yes.
It's okay. I'm okay with that. I look at it as a good fortune, if you will. The fact that she passed, because my birthday this year, 2009, happened to be on Mother's Day. So
oh,
May 10th
wow.
was my birthday, and it was Mother's Day, and she passed the day before. But it's okay, you know. She's forever in my heart. And that
right,
my mother
right.
know that I have problems remembering dates. So this way she was making sure that I won't forget the date. She
that's wonderful.
So, you know, yeah. But my stepfather, too, he was a well-known racehorse trainer in Jamaica.
What is his name?
Yes. And,
you want to mention his name?
Yes. His name was Aston Comock, and my mother was an assistant trainer with him, too, Inez Comock. And he, before he, you know, every morning he has to leave early in the morning, you know, with the horses and stuff. And you don't have a day off, you know. And I remember as a teenager now, I remember with him in the mornings, we would get up and they would make these eggnogs. I never liked eggnogs. I never drank the eggnogs. I would want to throw up. So they would have the eggnogs and I'd be the one taking pictures of everybody drinking the eggnogs.
Wow. Now, do you still have some of those pictures?
I'm sure I have. I'm sure I have. And I remember one time they got she and my daddy, I call him daddy, you know, my stepfather, they would get up and start. And I remember one particular one, they started to dance. Just get up there and they're both dancing,
doing some waltz thing right there in the between the kitchen and the dining room, right in that area there, and they were there dancing. I don't know why that memory came up to me just now, but
oh well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful memory. I see
that
we have another caller from 718-9.
Yes,
and I'm going to open up the mic in case they want to ask you a question about those memories.
Oh,
so, good evening.
Well,
who do I have here?
This is Lay from the Bronx.
Well, welcome, my loyal fan, Lay from the Bronx.
I'm sorry, I had a business call prior to getting on, but I came in just in time. I started to smell that Christmas food that you were talking about there.
Yes.
And you definitely can get a little tipsy from the contents of the cake.
Right. Oh, you remember getting tipsy.
Oh, yes. And the thing is that it's a good thing that a person like Tiger Woods, is probably not familiar with this kind of preparation of cakes, because it looks to me that he may be under the influence of something, the way things are going. But that's another story.
Shemaine Joan has been sharing some of our Christmas memories with us of her mother preparing for Christmas and helping with the Christmas cake and licking the bowl. And Shemaine, I wanted to know, do you still have that bowl?
You know, when I was thinking about it, because when I remembered about to tell the story here, I said next time I go to Jamaica, I must check.
Because that would be a nice bowl to keep to remember Christmas and your mommy.
I hope it is still there in the house and not taken away, because you know when people have died and then you come, things get missing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well,
we
hope you find the bowl, and we thank you for sharing your Christmas story with us.
I'm sure
all our listeners will enjoy, and it will trigger their memories of their whoever they were around at Christmas time, and you are blessed to have a mother whose memory you remember. And we wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And although you left your mother, I am sure that the wonderful memories that you have of her will remain for you. And hopefully, because these shows are archived, you know, if you must invite your friends or your son. I know you have a son, and when your son have his generation, they can come and listen to your voice about memories of your mom.
Oh, thank you. And I must say that, and if you just give me a moment here, that although, because I'm sure there are a number of people who have lost their mothers or fathers or loved ones this year, and especially if your mother and you're listening, although she's not here physically, I feel my mother's presence closer to me than before. I feel as if, because I live here in Atlanta, that she says, you know what, I can't be bothered with the confines of this body. I want to be able to be near Charm whenever I want to. So she decided to leave and discard the earthly body so that her spirit could be free to just be with me whenever she wants to. So I feel her presence around me even more than ever, and I'm sure anyone who's lost their mom will say the same. And if the memory's just fresh, just remember, there's an African saying that when somebody has moved on from this life, across the river, as they say, anytime you think of them, it means they're right there calling you, calling out to you. So whenever you think of your loved one, that's them just saying, hi, I am here, and they're very much alive. So to everyone, all the best and happy, Merry Christmas, and have a truly happy new year. And I hope you'll all listen to Living Happy at some point in the future on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Margaret, and you're doing a great thing.
All right, darling. Have a great day and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas from the Bronx as well.
The Bronx in the house.
Bronx is in the house. Home of the Yankees.
To you too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I see that 631 has her hands up, so I'm going to open up the mic. Welcome to Backyard Labyrinth. Who do we have here?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine.
Well, welcome to Backyard Labyrinth, Janine. You're going to share a Christmas story with us?
Well, I can relate to what she was just saying. What's her name?
Jermaine Joan.
Right. I can relate to what she was saying because I remember all the preparation for Christmas myself with a cake.
All right.
And the best part was the cutting up of the fruits because I used to like that part. Because I think I used to eat more than I was cutting up and putting.
You mean you would slip some in your mouth?
Yes. I would cut and eat at the same time.
I think we all did that.
Yes.
You used to cut up fruits too, Mr. Lee?
No, I didn't cut up fruits, but I was enjoying the end product as my mother would put some in. And, you know, she has this... it's kind of paper, like a baking paper.
It's a wax paper.
Wax paper.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
It would flick down. Uh-huh. No problem. That's where I would feast on the goodies.
Right. And in those days, you know, we didn't have grinders like the modern have now.
Exactly right.
And we would cut. We would have to physically. I'm sure the teenagers.
No, but wait a minute. My mother had... you know, what we would normally call a meat grinder.
Right, the iron thing that you hook onto the side of the board.
Would have all different couplets to put on for different processes.
Right.
And I am sure that she used it, you know, she put on something and clack it on, and she could use that for chopping up some of the stuff that went into the cake, too, as well.
Right. Well, I don't remember my great aunt, the preparation of the fruits itself, but I remember the rubbing up of the sugar, butter and sugar, in this big brown bowl with the glaze inside, as Jermaine Jones said.
Is that a yabba?
No, a yabba is from a plant. Yabba is different from this the mixing bowl.
Oh,
but
yeah?
It was not an electrical mixing bowl like we have
now.
I use that now.
Oh.
No, but my mom had this big bowl. It was like a silver color. But what she had, she had somebody actually... made the whatever she would use to rub the cake out of a piece of wood.
Oh, so it was actually a wooden bowl.
Not the bowl itself, the stick that she would
use. Oh, yes, the wooden.
The ladle
to rub it up.
To rub it up.
Because that's what they usually literally rubbed the brown sugar until it was smooth.
Yes.
Very smooth. Because
very
I think
strong.
If it's not smooth, I think the cake don't taste as good.
And not only that, with all the ingredients, it's so hard to mix because then as you go along, you have to add the fruits, you have to add it.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it in. So I remember my mother's like, I'm looking at her now. She passed
away. Isn't that wonderful?
Too. But it was like such a big thing. Christmas was such a nice thing. The preparation, you see everybody getting ready and they buy new curtains. And I remember she'd buy the new bedspread for a room.
The chenille bedspread?
Yes.
All right.
And in the middle.
Yes, and I remember the little bump. You remember the little, like little round balls on it?
Yes, sometimes it would come off of your clothes.
Yes.
Well, as a boy, I used to play highway with those things. You remember the big tin of powder or talcum that we used to have in the house? That was my big bus.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
And I would use the shinning spread, you know, go up and down the avenues.
Uh-huh.
And turn at certain points where those little knobs were.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we can always improvise. It's amazing to see what the children nowadays get for toys.
That's
what, what we could improvise and be satisfied with. And
uh-huh.
and right now we're talking about it now, so it must have had some effect on the way we were appreciating these kinds of toys.
You know
right.
something? Not that we look forward for the toys.
Yes.
But I think in our time it was more the Christmas, everything that involves with the Christmas. You know,
yes.
Christmas was special. You wanted a toy, yes, and you wanted a gift. But just the coming together and the preparation as a child. My grandmother, on the other hand, she would be corning our own meat.
Yes,
you know?
It's called pizza.
Yes,
yes,
calling our own meat, and you know everybody would be busy. And usually we don't like drink soda every day at home, but
mm-hmm.
my dad would be bringing in the crates of soda. So you know it's a festive time, and it was Christmas, and everybody was just happy.
Yeah,
and fancy Christmas tree. It was Lincoln Vita tree that they would cut
mm-hmm.
and put into this big pan.
Yeah, you had to be creative with the trees, man.
And we would wrap it with cotton to
our silver or something, tassels.
Yes. And the bulbs were so big, but what I used to really...
Pepper bulbs.
Yes.
And the bubble bulbs.
Pepper lights. Reason.
Bubble lights.
Pepper lights,
yeah.
But every Christmas, like Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother and my mom would hang like fresh fruits into the house. And you would smell that citrus.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it was such a lovely time.
You know, every
sorry.
House. Would have something different or something special.
Did you guys, my father used to have the responsibility of putting up the balloons,
yes.
sticking them up on the ceiling, and that big thing, I don't know what you call it, it opens up and it's like a lantern.
Made of pretty paper, as we used to call
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
You remember that?
Pretty paper.
Pretty paper. We used to call it pretty paper.
This thing was like, you know, it would go like where the light would be. And
uh-huh.
you open it up and bend it, and it turns out to be like a I don't know what you would call it, but it would be, it had designs on the structure of that pretty paper.
Yes.
Right.
You know
right, I know what you're talking about. And it would come flat, and you
yes, exactly,
open it up,
exactly.
and it would have a shape.
Yes. And
uh-huh.
they would hang all of these things, and, you know, everything was just happy, happy, happy.
Happy.
And the thing is, as you were saying, everybody participates. My grandmother used to, she was would be in charge of the sorrel and ginger beer.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right? And these were the mainstays for anybody come to your house, you had to give them. And if you're lucky enough, you see a bottle of porter pruna wine someplace.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
for all the drinkers.
Right.
But, you know, these were simple things that,
yes.
you know,
a lot.
Everybody had some aspect of what we're talking about, whether you had all the ingredients, or your ham was big, or it was small, or you had something to represent the mood of the time, you know?
Right.
And you felt satisfied with whatever you had.
That's
right. And before we had telephones, I remember, you know, before we even had telephones across the island, you know, when I would go to Savlamar to visit my Aunt Lola, and her great-aunt Dada was still alive. And I remember when we used to churn our own butter. Can you imagine that? They would skim the milk, the you know, that thing when you scald the milk?
Yes.
The cream.
And it would go in a special churn, and then they would plunge it. You know, they had helpers that would plunge it, boom, 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 till it formed the most delicious butter.
Yes.
that you could ever taste. I remember that going back that far. And the ham would be, you'd have to boil the ham and then bake it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would make the crisscross, as Shemaine Jones said, stick the cloves in it,
mm-hmm.
the fresh cloves.
Mm-hmm.
And that had such an aroma. So the house, and, you know, people would go house hopping. You go from one house to the next.
You had to do that because, all your neighbors that you might be close or not even close with expected that you would pop in and, have a little taste for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. It was just a wonderful time, a wonderful time. And as George Graham, I want to read back part of his article, as he talked about, if you were lucky, there would be time for a trip to Palace Theater, the movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Palace was air conditioned, which was a big thing then.
Yes.
And he said, I can still feel the carriage smooth air and see the giant bubbles in the decor. My father liked musicals, and over the years, we were treated to such delights as Showboat, Annie Get Your Gun. This is at Carib for the holidays.
I remember that at Rialto. At Rialto.
Mm-hmm.
And Carib used to have matinees. Remember that?
Yes.
American in Paris, Anchors Away, Singing in the Rain. Oh, I mean, several of the movies with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. And to please my mother, we also saw some films with Ingrid Bergman and Joan Crawford, Betty Davis,
mm-hmm.
and other dramatic actresses. But, going to the movie at Christmas time was like a special event.
Yeah, it was. It came almost close to going to the pantomime because you had to go to the pantomime at War Theatre.
Right.
Yeah.
And he says back in the country, junkone bands would be dancing along the streets, their drums and fifes making an eerie sound. Now, and the children, of course, were afraid of the junkone dancers because, remember, they had these masks on.
Eerie.
Yeah, that's
the devil. There was one.
Yes, yes. They had the horse, the head and the devil and the king and the queen.
Yeah, I have to confess, I wasn't into that.
Right.
For a good while.
Myself,
Right, right.
If I was with an adult, then I was fine. But if I went to this shop, and you can hear them from a distance because the drum, the music,
mm-hmm.
and you hearing that, you know exactly what's going to happen, who is coming.
Right,
and of course, everybody's gathering along the street. I would pick up my foot and run. But if I was with my mother or my grandmother, I was fine.
Mm.
Now, do you remember what we used to call do you remember clappers?
I remember that for Christmas time actually began early in December when all you guys were talking about preparing the food.
December 15th, everything started in Jamaica.
Yes, and then it goes on and on until after New Year's, and for New Year's, then came the coppers and thunderbolts. And all of this thing, man.
I would say January 6th is when everything over and everybody get back to work.
And don't forget the starlight. That was
starlight, starlight, amusing light.
Yeah. And we used to put it around, and when we light it, we wheel it around light.
Yes,
my dear. What a wonderful memories we have of the way used to be.
I was born in that time.
Yes. Well, King Street is not a place anybody goes anymore for Christmas market.
No.
But I have wonderful memories of getting up early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and my mother would take me to the Christmas market.
Yes.
And I remember all the way down King Street. There was a market there, and they had a gazebo down there, and the military band used to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of you guys remember that, but I'm sure some of our listeners might. I want to remind the listeners that they're listening to Backyard Labrys. And actually, we're pre-recording this show, and we are hoping that a lot of people will come by later when we have downloaded it, because it's going to be open at 8 o'clock tonight. However, we would not be able to interact with you, but you can call in and listen to the show. And do send us an email if you would enjoy it, or you have some suggestions for next week's show, because we're here every Wednesday evening to delight you in the backyard, and we really appreciate you joining us and being part of our community. So we invite you to go to backyardlabrys.com and leave a comment, or just tell us something special that you like about the show, or suggestions about our upcoming show. But for the rest of December, we will be just celebrating our wonderful memories of Christmas in Jamaica. So, again, I want to thank our loyal listeners to always being here with us. And Janine, do you have some more memories you want to share with us?
Yes, I remember as a child growing up, well, I had like my older sister and brother, so I was in the middle. But of course, in our time, one goes anyway, or everybody will have to go at the same time.
That's right.
We couldn't leave the house without each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tag along, but I was 3 years younger than my other sister, so I was with her bigger friends and what have you. And we would, Christmas Eve, we would take the bus down to King Street, and we had friends that used to have like a little Christmas job in the stores. So we would go down and wait for them until the stores were closed, and then from the store we would buy, well, at the time we thought it was an American apple, because it's like the apple we have here now. And we'd all buy an apple, and we would walk from King Street back to Holy Rosa Church for Mass.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this was mad. I tell you, it was like a far walk, and we didn't feel it.
No, because you were in such a good mood, and, you know, everything was merry.
Yes, we sing. I was there skipping. I was there, you know, jumping around. And
most of all, you'd never had to fear. You had no fear.
No.
You know, of walking on the street, or
dogs.
Being out.
Except for the dogs.
Yes,
when
if you were afraid of dogs.
Well, we weren't afraid for them, but I did the same thing, Janine. Yeah. And we were carrying on, and of course, that stirred up the dogs.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, but we had such a good time, because there were other people on the road, too.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so many of us. If we went right across the street, we could have had a long line across the street. That's how many of us were walking at the time. So it was very safe. And then we would go to church. And then when we went home, and you wake up in the morning, you know, you have, well, at least it's midnight mass. It's already another day. You see your gift and, the breakfast. Mm.
Oh.
I was coming for that, brother.
Mm.
And as Shemaine Joan mentioned, that chocolate tea made from the chocolate that you grate up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, a country chocolate tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you want to really make that chocolate tea nice, you put a little coconut milk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had the same thing like you, Janine, because, of course, we went to Midnight Mass.
Right.
And then, you know, people going your way, coming back, we would do the same thing, walk back home.
Yes.
And we would be interested to, well, you know, it's funny, we didn't think of the gifts yet.
No.
We were thinking of what's for breakfast. It could be, you know, when you get home in the, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, depending. You have first of all, they introduce the eggnog for those who want the eggnog.
Yes.
And then we might be getting liver and bacon with Johnny cakes and green banana for breakfast, you know. And if you're lucky, you may get a booby egg.
Uh-huh, yes, I remember that speckled
egg.
Yes, yes, yes. That was like a special treat, wasn't
it? That's Brataman, Brata.
Yes. But I never really ate it because I just...
I can't remember eating it.
Yeah.
I know my father went for it.
Like an exotic dish.
Yes, and just for the holiday, you know, everybody might buy one or two.
Yeah. Right.
And they were huge things.
Uh-huh.
And in the afternoon, at dinner time, that's when after dinner would be the presents time. And you start to wonder, did Santa Claus reach your gate from the North Pole?
Yes.
And it's great expectation, you know, man. Whether you believe that in Santa Claus or not, this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and, you know, everybody get what they get.
Yes.
And if you are bad, you get nothing.
I'm telling you.
I don't really think anybody in Jamaica in our days went without a gift.
No.
Do you?
Well, not really.
Regardless of what it was,
a little dolly, a little car, whatever. It might be, not what you had requested of Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes this was difficult. But you got something.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you remember how they used to spread the tablecloth and the table and the fresh fruits in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, it's like... right now, I'm back in that time. And when you look at my mother's face and my grandmother, and we were fortunate because we had our grandparents, my parents, plus a grandaunt, my grandmother's sister used to live with us. So it was a lot of us, you know, and family member would come up for the day and neighbors would come over and wish you a Merry Christmas. Everybody was so happy and life was so simple, you know, no stress, you know.
Right.
So beautiful.
Well, I sort of feel that I am not really in touch with what's going on in Jamaica now,
mm-hmm.
but I feel that, you know, a lot of it is still a very festive time, and I don't think that the people that live there worry about getting around to each other's parties or to each other's houses.
I think they still do, you know, because on occasion I'll go down there around Christmas time, and I see not the same thing as we're talking about, because as Janine said, it was simple. Nothing was that pretentious. Now, those who do whatever they do for Christmas is quite pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get the caterers to send in this and
send
that.
Right.
It's not like when your mother was alive and your grandmother, and they were doing the thing themselves. And everybody's smelling the aroma, you know?
Yes,
it's far more sophisticated, but they still do. And the thing that we, the whole setting that we had then, and I think, I'm not so sure if they have it now, is the religious, the church business.
Uh-huh.
When
do you
we were
remember
growing,
cantata? Didn't we have a cantata at Christmas time?
Of course. Look, everything was geared around church.
Right.
You know, from the choral singing and the going to midnight mass,
uh-huh.
and you go to watch whatever it is.
Watch night. Yeah.
And then some of us in the choir had to go back the next day. All centered around the
real meaning of the season.
And the thing is that it seems like over the whole world, not just Jamaica, now they're taking Christ out of Christmas.
Are trying to.
And how can you? I mean, the whole thing about Christmas is Christ.
Mm. Right.
You know?
But that's not it now. It's all about the money spending, and it's so different.
We have our wonderful memories that we're not going to make die with us.
No.
Leaving them in cyberspace.
Yes.
And, you know, although we think that the teenagers might not be interested now, but I guarantee you that as they grow older, they will be interested in knowing what life was like when their ancestors grew up. So I think that we can take really some credit for being we seniors that are doing this, being mindful of using the medium that we believe is going to be meaningful to them, the next generation. Because, you know, a lot of us are dying with our memories with us. You know, it's going with us because we're not sharing them in a format that the future generation will appreciate or use. Don't you agree?
Yes.
You know, just talking about it or writing about it is not even the safest way because, as I mentioned before, so many of my memories got lost in the fire.
Right.
And Leigh, I'm sure you have things or you had things from your father and grandfather that you don't no longer have.
Right.
And unless they're in picture form that we now transfer to a DVD or a MP or whatever those are, or put them in on Facebook or in cyberspace somehow, they are really not saved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the next generation is going to be accessing all their information from cyberspace.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to commend both of you and the rest of my senior listeners for using the format and encouraging them to encourage their friends to become part of this new type of technology and not to be afraid of it or make it scare them away because it's the format that will be used by the next generation. So I want to thank you really for helping me to live my passion of trying to do this backyard library and making it be, you know, something that hopefully, I know it will be here long after we're gone.
Right.
So, you know, it's really, I have to depend on you and the rest of my fans to help spread the word so that we'll have more participation.
Right.
So back to you, Leigh.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have memories, really. You know, my grandmother passed before I knew her, but her sisters, I have lots of memories of my aunts doing their Christmas thing. And I remember I spent a lot of Christmases in Savlamar, which is where my mother was born and raised. And I just remember all of these wonderful, the aroma alone. And even with my aunts in Kingston, and most of my aunts, my mother's sisters, have now passed. But I remember, to me, my fondest memories is from the smells. You know, the aroma of the house.
Yes.
It seemed to me like the whole island took on a different smell around Christmas time.
You know, it was almost like in front of our house, we had this hedge, you know, all around the whole house, and the hedge was jasmine.
Yeah.
And
it bloomed at Christmas time. I remember that.
Yes, and to this day, when it seems like when the moon comes, when there's a full moon, you know, The smell of that jasmine comes up, and the little hair I've left is raising now that I'm remembering all of this stuff. You know, you talk about the smells,
yes.
I remember the jasmine.
Yes.
And also, my father would be very disappointed some years when, for whatever reason, either it was a drought that year, and his poinsettias didn't get enough water out in the garden. And by some quirk, he didn't trim them back in October when you're supposed to do it, so that by December, you have that red, the leaves change to red, and you have the red poinsettia.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't do everything right, you're not going to get it. and it's very disappointing. So I remember all of that stuff.
Mm.
You know, and that was.
Well, I wanted to share something with one of the writers on Jamaica.com, you know, shared with their fans. And this person is Devon Harris. And he said, it's so funny, we didn't talk about that, but I know you all can remember it. He said, I have since traded in the white wash for the white snow and the light by firecrackers in July, the Dankuna dance only in my memory. But the essence of my Jamaica Christmas time is still a part of how I celebrate Christmas today.
Yeah.
The childlike exuberance, which admittedly exited stage left some time ago without my noticing, returns this time of year. And do you all remember how everybody would whitewash the trees?
You bet, yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Christmas time?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
The back veranda, they used to put, like, some red stuff on it. Everything was so, you know.
Festive.
Yes, yes. They would do it over, like, on the ground, on the floor.
Right.
I don't know what
was that red stuff. Color. Color was very important to us.
Yes, and they would paint.
Everybody would paint up their house.
Yeah.
And as people mentioned, change their curtains, change their bedspreads.
Christmas curtains, man.
Oh, yes.
Not only that, the backyard with the dirt.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have, like, grass in our backyard because our backyard was our playground.
Right.
What they would do early in the morning, they would go out there with a hose and wet the ground so it would stay still and there would be no
loose dirt.
Yes, blowing orange. So when you look at it, it's like, this is the
like
right
velvet.
Way to do it. It would look calm, you know.
Look like velvet.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Even that was important.
What wonderful memories.
Yes.
Yeah, this is funny, but I can remember my father was a snappy dresser, you know.
Yep, I remember him.
He would take, say, the weekend before Christmas, all of his suits and all of his suits were worsted and whatever, and he would hang them on because you didn't take everything to any dry cleaner or whatever you call them. He would hang them on the in the sun on the clothesline. And give them a good battering and airing out. And, boy, he was ready to choose one for the
Christmas.
Holiday, for Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you just brought back a memory to me. My aunt's husband used to work on the ship. So when he comes home, my aunt used to put his suit, whatever you're saying, on the line outside the sun, whatever.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
I don't know if you remember Reggie. He used to walk and pick up the butt with his foot and have this piece of string.
Uh-huh. You mean the cigarette butt?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, he walked into the backyard and got dressed with one of the suits.
Oh, he had himself.
And skip out.
Did he get a dressing down?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. They caught him?
Yes, but in those days, you don't really
have
anybody for it, you know, because I remember.
He needed a suit.
Oh, I tell you.
Needed to amuse himself.
I tell you, he could walk faster than the bus,
uh-huh.
And he would use his toe.
Uh-huh.
And pick up any cigarette butt on the street.
So it was like a finger.
Yeah. He was so good at it, and he would have this string in his hand, and he would just keep, you know. But my grandmother, God bless her soul, if you were to ask me, how do you describe your grandmother? I would honestly say, to me, my grandmother was an angel on earth.
Oh, that is wonderful.
My grandmother used to feed a lot of people. Well, in Jamaica, we didn't cook exact, so anybody could visit and get dinner.
Yeah, we had our regular passerbys on Sunday, brother.
Yes,
but this was during the week, too. My grandmother didn't cook, like she didn't measure.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, you know, if anybody came by, she could say, would you like to have dinner with us, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother used to bring in people and feed them, and Reggie was one of them. And yes, I remember as a child there was this Indian man at the time, and he didn't have any relative. He used to live with some other Indian people that my grandmother would go and buy, like, kalalo and all the greens from them.
Yeah, they were the providers in those days of those things.
Right, and he got attached to my grandmother, but he used to have epilepsy. In our time, we call it fits.
Fits, yes, yes. I remember that, fits.
Yes, anywhere it would happen, somebody would come and call my grandmother, and you would just see her with her apron, and she was busy walking. And she went and she got him, and she would bring him home as if this was her child.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her mixing up the egg punch and putting a little brandy in it and giving him. And she would leave, like, his breakfast. Well, dinner time, we would eat, like, lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Jamaica, we used to eat dinner very early. By 1 o'clock, you have your dinner.
And then you had supper at night.
And then supper at night.
See, those people are so smart then, because it's better to have a light meal before you go to bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she would bring him in and feed him, and if the breakfast is there and she noticed he didn't come for it, she know something was wrong, you would see her just go through the gate looking for him.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when he passed away, you know, it was so sad for my grandmother. She was the one that buried him because he didn't have any family.
Right, right.
I remember going to the funeral home with her, and she was there at the time. She buried him into, like, a nice pajama.
Uh-huh.
And she was there fixing him as if it was her child, you know?
Right, right.
But you see the kind of example that leaves with
you, yes.
You, yeah.
Made such an impression on you as a child.
Yes.
That the memory is still fresh.
Yes, yes.
In your memory. And that is why it's important for us as adults to, you know, to be mindful that children are looking for role models.
Yes.
And they are looking, you know, whatever impression, you know, we cannot get into the feeling that has changed. That has not changed.
No.
You know, it really hasn't, because the children are impressionable.
Children are children.
Yeah. And you know, plopping them in front of the TV, like what happens a lot of times now, to have other people impress their minds with their stories and their thoughts and the way they are. You know, we have to remember that it is our responsibility to leave the impressions we want on the children that we impact, whether they're our children or not.
Right.
So I want to really thank you for sharing that with our listeners, of how you were impressed by your grandmother's deeds, grandmother's good deeds.
She would say, put yourself in the next person's shoe.
Right.
Walk a mile in the next person's shoe. My grandmother was a loving person, very loving, very soft-spoken. You know, you go home from school and she would put you in her lap and she would hug you. And if you know, whatever they fix for dinner, if it's not your favorite, she would coax you into eating it.
Right, right, right. Instead of giving up, you don't want it, so it's okay. She would force you.
Just while you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And not only that, you go home from school. My mother didn't work. You go home from school, but if I went home from school and my grandmother wasn't there, I was sad. If I went home from school and my mother went out, I was looking for her, but as long as my grandmother was there, I was happy.
Right,
if my grandmother
right.
wasn't there, I would stand by that gate until I see her coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, you know, she had so much love about her. If I bought a candy coming home from school, if it's
uh-huh.
one candy, I would bite a piece and leave a piece for my grandmother to put in her mouth. You know?
Well, you know, as you're saying that, I have a memory. I remember as a small child, and people who are from the island and, you know, our kind of country can relate to what I'm saying. Like in the 30s and early 40s, you know, we didn't know anything about deodorant. Do you realize that?
Well, in my time, they had one by the name of Mumps.
Yes, I remember that in the early years. But in the old days, so, you know, people used to have to wash their clothes a lot.
Yes.
And I remember when my mother went out and I was small and I missed her, I would go, if she had any unwashed blouses or dresses, I would go and look for that and smell the arm of the dress.
Yes.
Because that would, or the blouse, because that would comfort me.
Whether it would,
yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Yeah.
And as you were talking about that, how your grandmother would put you in your lap, that's something my children perhaps don't even know about me, but that is how I would be comforted.
Yes, yes. Yes, it's like she was always there for us, and, you know, my grandmother was the one that used to do all the cooking.
Right.
She got sick, then my mother, you know, she took over. But
we're so fortunate to have our memories and to be able to talk about what we remember.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are a lot of people in our age group that for some reason or another, you know, with Alzheimer's and all the things, they can't explain their memories.
No.
So we have so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
So much to be thankful for.
Sure.
And I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, I just want to have them know that, you know, they need to appreciate the fact that they have memories.
Yes.
And I do hope that them listening to our stories, it will trigger memories in themselves that they can appreciate and be thankful for.
Yes.
So that's what we do in the backyard. Here in the backyard, I know that, and I can speak for my loyal listeners too, that we just come together once a week to reminisce, and the whole objective of Backyard Labrish is to celebrate and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica as we knew it when we were growing up. And I just appreciate all of you, including the listeners, that sometimes don't want to necessarily share. They're not comfortable to share, but they come by to listen and to be inspired. And I hope that you will really enjoy all of our shows and will let us know when you have a special show. So if you do go by and listen and a show impacts you in any way by triggering a memory or just being your favorite, that there is a place on Blog Talk Radio that you can tell us that you enjoyed the show or this show was a favorite. And when you do that, Blog Talk have software that really let us know. And we've been getting people that go by and say this is a favorite show, and we know, we're informed. So if you are inspired by a show, please just take the time to mark it your favorite, and it will be meaningful to us. So I want to remind everyone that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this segment is Backyard Labrish, and we are here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock to entertain you and to have you enjoy what we're discussing. So back to you, Leigh. We have a couple more minutes. We have a few minutes before we sign off the air.
All right.
So if you have anything you'd like to share with the listeners, I want to share a couple more of what I picked up from Jamaica.com from some of their writers that I thought our listeners might like to hear. And one of the writers, who is Carmen Lawrence, shared an article. She grew up in Lionel Town, and I'm sure that some of the listeners can relate to that part of the island. And
It's a funny thing. When you recall these names of these the locations, it's not easy for me. I remember the name Lionel Town.
Uh-huh.
But where it really was, I don't remember, and that's.
Well, I think that your Aunt Vin was in line in town at one time. Do you relate it to Aunt Vin?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I just can't pinpoint where.
Well, it doesn't say where Lionel Town is, but I think we did a parish where we talked about Lionel Town. And
are you thinking of Bethel Town or?
Oh yes, it's Bethel Town. You know that
me
a senior here is really
yeah.
a senior moment.
Yeah, that's Westmoreland.
Oh,
but
okay.
Lionel Town is in Kingston.
Is in Kingston?
Yeah.
Really?
And I just that's what I mean by not really being able to remember the different locations in Kingston.
Right.
I hope that
Carmen Lawrence, who I'm going to check out who she is and perhaps invite her to be on Backyard Lavish, but she had an article on Jamaica.com, and she said that, and I quote from her article, that at Christmas at Lionel Town, they would dance. She's talking about the junk on the people. Would dance to the musical drums and tambourines that were being played as we accompanied this mystic band of revelers. Adults and children alike usually followed the band and danced as they wove through the streets of my community, Lionel Town, singing and dancing up a storm, making merry music in the early Christmas morning. Emphasis on word early. It was an amazing event and one that was waited upon all year with great anticipation. It was exciting and great fun, especially for us children. We would go to bed as late as possible Christmas Eve night and would wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning when it was still dark. Daylight saving time was not yet implemented. We would wake up to the sound of drums, bum, 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 beating on the top of our streets.
Boom, boom.
Chaos would begin as we scrambled out of bed, literally grabbing the first piece of clothing we laid hands on, fighting to get it on and fighting to get space over the bathroom sink to wash our faces and brush our teeth as we hurried, trying not to miss all the excitement that was approaching. As the band approached our gate, we would naturally gravitate towards it, looking intensely at the mask, she's talking about the junk thing, scared out of our wits, but excited all the same, watching the characters dance and frolic in colorful costume. And on stilts, too, it was just a wild scene. I think the whole affair was put on by the Boys Brigade, organizers of Lionel Town, simply because our neighbors and head drummer was a member. We tried to stay together at first, but just jostled in different directions as the crowd moved along. And sometimes we'd even see our friends from the neighborhood, and we just walk on, enjoying the whole spectacle. The whole crowd would go from street to street, drum and tambourine music rousing people from sleep. They went through the same routine we did to get out of their house. After following for a while, you had the option to stop and go back home whenever or wherever along the route you chose. Of course, by the time it was fully daylight and a new realization of fun had begun, we now realize it was all a rush to get out of the house and that they transported. No. Actually, she said that sometimes they would find out that they've put on their clothes backwards which I thought was really funny. In their rush to get out of bed, they followed this junk on the line that was the big thing in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They would end up with their clothes on backwards,
yeah.
on the wrong side sometimes. And I remember doing that as a child. You know, when you get up and sleep is in your head, and
yeah,
yeah.
And you
no,
don't realize
no
now
no,
you put
no night light.
Yes, yes, yes. But I thought that was funny because apparently in Lionelandstown where she lived, the boys brigade put on this junk on the thing.
Yeah.
And they went along the neighborhood. I suppose it would be similar to caroling early in the morning.
Well, that's a little raucous for caroling. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it is similar to that. People used
yeah.
to go caroling in certain neighborhoods. But my point is that they did different things in different parts of the island and even in different neighborhoods in Kingston.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, but Kingston was quite spread out.
Yes.
But
yes.
It brings me back to the point I want to make, how Americans would assume that because we're all from Jamaica, or because we're all from Kingston, we knew everybody else. And they would say, well, do you know such and such a person? You know, I don't know if it has happened to any of you.
Yes,
last night it happened to me at my oratorio. There's a gentleman who is a little bit shaky, but this Russian girl was asking me if I knew, like, so much so she's teasingly calling him Speedy, only because he's from Jamaica and used to be an athlete running a mile runner in Jamaica. And she's asking me, did I know that? I said, no. And then I said, do you know that I'm from Jamaica? She says, what? Yeah, so.
Isn't that something? I'm
yeah,
telling you.
Only last night.
Right. Well, Miss Carmen Lawrence, who wrote this article, went on to say that, and she's talking about when she was a child, you know, that in the hurry to put on the Bata crepe, remember that? Sneakers.
Yeah, my.
The Bata crepe.
Bata crepe. And for the men, they used to call it God blimey.
Yeah, crepe tool. Sometimes
you
put it on the wrong foot. Yeah, but left foot. It was hilarious as we weren't the only ones. Like the children we would just point to each other's mishap and laugh at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing at ourselves has great therapeutic value. You don't want people that can laugh at themselves better than Jamaicans.
You're right.
Don't you find that? You know, because even now at my age, I find that I'm laughing at myself most times. You know, instead of being insulted when something wrong happened, we just laugh at ourselves.
Well,
and I think that is a good island trait. Don't you?
Yeah, somebody once said, Jesus, I guess God had a good sense of humor. Because
mm-hmm.
when you really sit back and look at us as humans,
Right.
Different in different ways that he really had a good sense of humor. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage people, you know, not to get all stressed out if everything is not perfect. You just have to laugh it off.
Yes.
Because if we go back to our childhood, even as Jamaicans, as Lisa, you know, sometimes we get so sophisticated and we want everything to be so right.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, you know, don't come to the backyard and expect that, because the lavish is a very relaxed atmosphere.
Yes, you have to be
done. And that's what we do best, relax
mm-hmm.
and reminisce and have fun. But at the same time, we are preserving and celebrating the very rich mixed culture of Jamaica, land we love. Because we might not be planning to go back there to retire,
right.
But that does not say that we do not love.
Or don't remember.
Or don't want to celebrate
yes.
the good things about our island.
Yes.
So with that, we're almost out of time, and I want to thank you both and to thank all our listeners that come by to visit with us and enjoy our show. And to wish everyone compliments of the season. as we used to say in the old days when we answer our phone. Do you remember that, Lay?
Oh, yes. And I would like to wish you both happy holidays, as we say it in New York.
Yeah, you don't want to say Merry Christmas.
I would much prefer to say Merry Christmas.
Well, you can say that on the backyard lavish.
Yeah. And with all the build-up about all the things that we used to have, what you should do is invite us down to Atlanta and give us some sorrel and...
Well, I'm going to be there now. And say, y'all, come on down.
Y'all, come.
Because Margaret's house is always open. And guess what? I have learned, having had to run a bakery at one time, I've learned how to make things happen fast.
Uh-huh.
So if you're at the airport, just call me up and said, I'm coming on over. Guess what? I'll have sorrel ginger beer and even Christmas cake ready.
All right.
That song like the real Jamaican thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So come. I remember the days when my mother and my aunts were all, you know, closely knit. That if a family, and I remember one of my aunts had six children, the Vassals. And if we came by and they were having dinner, all the children, if they had one banana, they had to cut it in two. If they had one, they wouldn't have just one banana. But if they had a banana in the plate and a visitor came, somebody would cut half of that banana and put in a plate. Somebody would put another piece of meat in a plate if the pot was empty. And everybody could sit down together and share. You know, and that was the way we lived in those days. So nobody had to call to say, I'm coming over for dinner.
No.
You drop in, and if the family was eating, there would be enough dinner for you.
Yes. They really didn't cook skimp in those days.
Right.
Whatever was left over for the day, we didn't eat leftover.
You know,
it was given to the dog, and, you know.
So, Jamaicans are known for this, you know, for their hospitality and generosity.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that still exists now, but in the old days that we're talking about, Jamaicans are known, not just to Jamaicans, but to any visitor to the island.
Right. Exactly
that,
so.
The door is open and unlocked.
Right.
So, yeah.
With that
said,
I want to say good evening, and we'll see you next week. And as usual, make it a great week.
Have a happy. Bye-bye.
Have a happy.
Bye, and thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Miss Mary.